Support for the Projection Booth podcast comes from Stitcher Smart Radio. Now podcast listeners can access the latest episodes of the Projection Booth and thousands of other podcasts on the go without downloading or syncing. Stitcher instantly delivers episodes of your favorite shows to your mobile phone. Stitcher Smart Radio can be found in the iPhone or Android app stores or on the web at stitcher.com/booth.
Here he is, the amazing Randy.
Randy is an honest liar. He says he's going to deceive you, and then he does. I'm not going to tell you I have supernatural powers. I'm going to tell you I'm totally normal, which actually makes it more exciting.
He has managed to span several different worlds. He's not always the same thing.
He was a world-famous magician. He was really a kind of Superman.
Escapes from straitjackets, from burning ropes, over Niagara Falls, buried under the ice, beat Houdini's record of being buried in a coffin.
You've been going around the country, somewhat as Houdini used to in the past, trying to debunk those who say that it's psychic power. You say it's magic.
People like Randy are doing a huge service by unmasking these fakes, mountebanks, and charlatans. What you need is somebody who's an expert deceiver in his own right.
The great trinity of magic, skepticism, and science, I had not fully appreciated until I saw James Randi do his routines.
And I saw him on The Tonight Show when he did the thing where he debunked Popoff.
Popoff was allegedly hearing the voice of God, and he would go around his congregation and tell people amazing things about themselves.
You got cancer of the stomach? Are you ready for God to burn that cancer out?
He had them come out of the audience and throw their pills up on stage.
Throw them up there.
And we discovered that the man was wearing, of all things, a hearing aid in his left ear. The man who heals the deaf and the blind isn't going to have much use for a hearing aid, one would think. We discovered that someone is sitting at a transmitter backstage.
Who is Harold?
What Randy did was to tune into the same frequency, and that allowed us to hear the voice of God.
Okay, she was at 4267 Masterson.
4267 Masterson, I can see the angels of God all around your house.
That's disturbing when you see it.
He breaks down the people he's uncovered as to as tight a degree as he can, showing all their methodologies and all of their tricks.
Up to your old tricks, I see.
Why not? I'm a charlatan.
This ability to figure out when someone's trying to fool you is of enormous value. And James Randi is the past master, perhaps the world's foremost authority on how to do that.
Welcome to a special edition of the Projection Booth. I'm Rob St. Mary.
And I'm Mike White.
And today we're throwing a spotlight on a film that you can get involved with, and one that I think is going to get a lot of attention once it's completed. It's called An Honest Liar, a feature-length documentary about magician and investigator James Randi. I didn't say debunker because I understand he doesn't really like that term. He sees it as kind of a negative as opposed to a positive.
The filmmakers behind An Honest Liar, Justin Weinstein and Tyler Meesom, have several other projects to their credit.
Weinstein just released Being Elmo, a documentary about puppeteer Kevin Clash, the man and the voice behind that beloved Sesame Street character. Meesom is the creator of a documentary called Sons of Perdition about several young men trying to integrate themselves into society after leaving the fundamentalist Latter-day Saints compound in Utah. So, Mike, I want to do this special episode of For Honest Liar because I've been a fan of James Randi's work for years and have had the good fortune to meet him and interview him several years ago when he came to Michigan. So do you remember maybe when you first heard about James Randi?
You may not know this about me, but I am a huge Happy Days fan, and he had a small role on an episode of Happy Days, so that's where I first heard about him. He was a kind of a savior to one of Howard's lodge functions where they were doing a fundraiser for some orphans, and their original magician got sick, so Fonz said, "Hey, the amazing Randi, let's get him up here from Chicago." So Richie and Ralph and Aunt Potsy went down to Chicago and got Randi to come on up. And then wouldn't you know?
Yeah, the show must go on. The show must go on.
But how? Our star is in the hospital.
Hey, the amazing Randi.
That's great. Hey, who is the amazing Randi?
Who is the amazing Randi? Only the escape artist par excellence, the primo magician in the world.
You hear that, Dad? He knows the escape artist par excellence, primo magician in the whole world. Is he any good?
Here's a twist. They gave him a glass of water to calm his nerves before he went on stage. Happened to be straight vodka, so he had to sit out of the big show.
Oh, happy days.
Yeah. Then, you know, Fonz was the one who had to go and save the day.
Outside of Happy Days, in terms of Randy being in sort of the public consciousness, I mean, it was really in that era. It was really in the 70s because he was still a performer at the time. And as he progressed, say, a few years later, he would make all these appearances on Johnny Carson on Tonight Show. It was a little bit before my time. I remember first coming across James Randi through the book Flim Flam, which my dad had owned, which was a book that he had written, I think, in the early 80s about all of these different things that he had debunked, like, or investigated and kind of showed that this was really just trickery. It was just stagecraft, it, you know, psychics and ESP and all of these different things. And he would go on Johnny Carson at the time. And this was back in the 70s when there was a guy who used to bend spoons and do psychic stuff named Uri Geller. Geller became sort of almost like a pop culture phenomena. But Randy set up this thing with Johnny Carson, who most people don't know. Carson actually was a magician before he went on to do what he did with The Tonight Show. So he had a background in that kind of stagecraft. And he was also a skeptic, if you know about his background. And he would bring Randy on and they would do sting operations where they would set the props up before, like, Uri Geller would come on. And then he was like, oh, here, you know, we have this table full of stuff for you and you should be able to use your powers to divine, you know, what's what. He's like, oh, you know, I can't really do that right now. I'm just not feeling it, or something like that. And there were lawsuits over a book that Randy wrote about Uri Geller debunking him and all of this stuff. And the other thing that was amazing was Randy went on Carson's show and showed the tape of Peter Popoff that he had investigated. And what he learned was, is this guy who was a televangelist and faith healer had said that God was telling him things while he was doing his, I don't want to say performance, but he was doing his thing with the public where he would have these tent revivals and they would film them. They would film the tent revivals. People would come up and he'd be like, your name is so-and-so and you live here and you have this problem and, you know, you will be healed. And they would be like, oh, that's amazing. You know my name and all this stuff. And you know exactly what my problem is. And Randy went to one of these things with a simple radio scanner and found out that Popoff was getting through an earpiece all that information from his wife, who was backstage. And this became also, you want to talk about Randy's impact beyond just showing up on Carson. That whole debunking that he did of Peter Popoff became the basis for the 1992 film Leap of Faith with Steve Martin, where Steve Martin played a similar evangelist. One of the things that's also interesting is this $1 million challenge. So I don't know if you were aware of that as well.
I am aware of it now through you. So why don't you tell the folks at home what the $1 million challenge is and how they can win $1 million.
That's right. You can get in on the $1 million challenge. So all you got to do is be able to prove in a scientific setting that you can do psychic phenomena or paranormal things such as ESP or telekinesis, move things with your mind, and the money's yours. So the thing is several well-known psychics have gone on TV, like Sylvia Brown back, I think, in 2001, went on Larry King. And Larry King asked her if she'd be willing to take the $1 million challenge. And she said on TV, absolutely, I'll do it. And never did. And to this day, I think Randy still has on his website a countdown clock that says how many days, minutes, hours, seconds since Sylvia Brown said she was going to take the $1 million challenge. So the big thing why he does these things, as you learn when you read his books, when you see him in interviews, when you see him on the Penn & Teller show on Showtime or various other places, it's not that he wants to disprove these things. He would like them to exist. It would be amazing if these things could occur.
Who doesn't want magic to exist?
Yeah, in that way. I mean, who doesn't want to be able to talk to dead relatives? Who doesn't want to be able to move things with their mind? Who doesn't want to be able to divine what the future will hold for you? These are all things that help to cut down on the uncertainty of our lives. And that's why they're so popular. But the thing is that at least the way that these people are doing it proves that it's nothing more than stage magic. It's nothing more than con artistry. And that's the thing that really bothers people like James Randi who investigate these things, because they see people who are emotionally hurt who are grieving the loss of loved ones, people who are financially hurt and in need of good news in order to try and figure out what they're going to do with their lives next, or even in the situation of someone like Peter Popoff, where people would come there and they would throw their crutches away, they'd throw their medications away, they would do all these different things that were detrimental to their health in the long term. They're unscientific things that were detrimental to them. And he just couldn't sit by anymore from what you hear in these interviews and in my discussions with him. He just couldn't sit by anymore and see people being taken advantage of, basically with stagecraft and chicanery, when there are better solutions for your life. There are better ways in order to make sure that you can get the help you need in order to live a good, decent life. And that's why this film, An Honest Liar, I think it's going to be really fascinating when it comes out, because Randy's one of those guys. He's very polarizing, depending on where you sit on the spectrum of where you have faith in unscientific things or the supernatural. He can be very polarizing that way, but he's also a very charming man. So it'll be interesting to kind of see how this whole film plays out.
Right. I mean, there have always been charlatans around there, people that are out, you know, trying to take advantage of people. But it's very telling that Randy kind of came to the fore in the 1970s. Just because I always look back at that decade and just wonder what the heck was going on. I mean, because there were so many. I mean, this was the era of cryptozoology and, you know, mainstream TV shows like In Search Of and Arthur C. Clarke's Mysterious World and, you know, movies like Communion and major phenomenon of, you know, Chariots of the Gods and all of this kind of just absolute psychic insanity kind of stuff going on. I would say even more than there is today. And today is the era of, you know, having a mainstream TV show about hunting Bigfoot and, you know, however many ghost hunting shows that there are out there, which I just find absolutely hilarious. But 1970s was just, it was just such a golden era for kooks. So it was great that we had people like Randy out there in the trenches fighting for, you know, good sense and logical explanations. It was good to have his Sully to a generation of Mulders that were coming up.
And that's why you see it with people like Penn and Teller, who go, you know, this guy's a big influence on us. It's like, if it wasn't for James Randi, we wouldn't, our show wouldn't be what it is. Penn and Teller is very entertaining and they're very fun and things like that. But a lot of their stuff revolves around these questions of trying to get the audience to understand that it's about learning those critical thinking skills.
Exactly. So let's go ahead. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll roll the interview we did recently with the filmmakers behind An Honest Liar, Justin Weinstein and Tyler Meesom.
Everyone wants to spice things up in the bedroom. Here's an offer you won't want to miss. For a limited time, you'll get 50% off just about any one item at adamandeve.com. Yes, get 50% off when you use the coupon code BOOTH at checkout, as in John Wilkes Powers or the Projection Booth. But that's not all. You'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs and free shipping on your entire order. Too good to be true? It's not. Check out adamandeve.com today for this special offer. Once again, that coupon code is BOOTH at adamandeve.com.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Forgotten Flicks. I'm Joel, and I'm here, as always, with my co-host, Jason.
The whole point of the Forgotten Flicks podcast, the idea behind it, was that we wanted to create something, a mouthpiece for fans of movies from the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s, the movies that we all grew up with.
This was one of the worst movies I have seen in a long...
You are full of crap. Are you being serious?
I will never, ever see him as anything else but Edgar, the cockroach guy from Men in Black.
Full Metal Jacket.
I loved it. His playing that Edgar role in Men in Black was hilarious.
Who do you think you are all of a sudden? I can't believe you hate this movie.
Everything is so contrived. Painfully, so I'm just going to read through my notes. And whether you remember the movies or you forgot about them or maybe you never even heard of the movies we're talking about, the point is that we're all keeping the memories of the movies we love alive.
Find us on iTunes or ForgottenFlicks.com.
I had made Sons of Perdition. When you make a documentary, you kind of have to keep making the documentary even after it's done of sorts. You have to promote it and travel to film festivals and keep working and, you know, sell internationally. And so I really didn't have enough time to concentrate on what my next film was going to be. Somebody pointed me and turned me on to James Randi. And I did a little research on him and I went, I can't believe that this man has yet to have a documentary made about him. And this is Tyler, by the way, I live in Utah. I was raised as a Mormon. So I'm very interested in spirituality. Now, consequently, I've left the Mormon church, but it was a very difficult process, of course. I'm very interested in spirituality and the belief system and why people believe certain things. And so that's what really made me interested in James Randi was his mission, which is to get people to question, don't believe everything you've ever been told. So I contacted, and it took me a few months to really get in, and finally they agreed to let me do it. And I met Justin at the Silver Dock Film Festival, and he asked what I was doing next, and I said, James Randi. Now, literally, I had been told, 2 days before by the James Randi Foundation that I could do the documentary. Justin got it immediately. I mean, and I'd never met him before. We literally were having a beer, and within 10 minutes, we were like, let's do this film together. So that's kind of how it worked out.
It's interesting because, Tyler is an ex-Mormon, as he said, and I'm kind of an ex-scientist. I've had a career in both science and documentary and, broadcast journalism. So coming from the science side, I have always really appreciated critical thinking and had been, had learned the scientific method and had come across in, my travels in my life, people who, fundamentalists of various strains and people who held beliefs that were decidedly unscientific and had done other documentary projects, including a project for, Peter Jennings Productions, an ABC News documentary on life in the universe, which included stories about UFOs and alien abductees, and had, really come across and gotten involved very closely with people who were convinced of things either having happened to them, experiences that they might have had, or, convinced of beliefs that were scientifically falsifiable or not provable and clearly like, whether it's superstition, everybody has beliefs that are not based in reality, whether it's, yoga is going to make my life better or, religion in many senses. As a scientist, I had always been fascinated with how people can become convinced to the point of being able to pass lie detector tests and whatnot about things that really had no basis in reality. And so the combination of our backgrounds and our experience, I think, made us as a team both fascinated with Randi's life and his mission to promote critical thinking, and a lot of what he's done has really been much more educational and much more has reached much more of the public in terms of trying to show how there's a lot of bunk out there. There's a lot of hoo-ha. There's a lot of whether it's psychics or channelers, whatnot. And this idea that a magician, why should the magician be better at explaining to the public that they're being deceived by all of this crap that's out there? And the fact is that magicians are, deceivers themselves. They've learned how to deceive. And so they're better than anybody at spotting deception.
Why a magician? But to me, and I'm sure Randi, of course, knows this, and anyone who studies sort of history of magic and stagecraft and things like that know that Houdini, in his later years before he died, actually here in Detroit, sadly, was working on debunking a lot of spiritualism and things like that and mediums that were around in his day. Does Randi, from your conversation, see himself as sort of carrying on that legacy from Houdini?
Well, absolutely. Randi really picked up the mantle where Houdini left off. And I think it's because, you know, first off, it takes a thief to catch a thief. These magicians know how the tricks are done. They know the mechanism behind the wheel. So for them, it's easy. It's easy to spot. They can see it. And more so, I think what Houdini recognized is he was seeing people who were using his tricks, but not for entertainment, but for what he would even call evil. You know, they were deceiving. They were misleading. And that's what James Randi saw. He saw people lying, flat out lying, whereas he, and this is the title of the film, An Honest Liar, a magician will lie to you, but they do it, they tell you they're going to lie to you, making them honest. So he got really tired, as Houdini got really tired of seeing people use the same tricks for bad. And Randi did the same thing. He really decided to go after these individuals and has made it, for the most part, his life's mission. I mean, he works daily to expose frauds and charlatans and chicanery and Montauban's wherever he can.
As for getting James Randi to go along with the idea of doing a documentary about him and his life's work, what kind of sales job did you have to do in order to get him to agree?
He's been all over the world. He's been on radio, he's been on television, he's been in films. He's not one to shy away from the camera in any realm. I think the more difficulty was convincing the JREV, the James Randi Educational Foundation, because they said they get a number of people who want to make a documentary about him almost every month or twice a month. They get people calling up. So their job is to kind of protect him from people who may expose him or may be his detractors, if you will. But they recognized both mine and Justin's previous film, Being Elmo and Sons of Perdition, and they saw that we were kind of the right people to tell this story. So for James Randi, I mean, he's on board. He loves the film. He, like a lot of other people and like us, are kind of shocked that there hasn't been a major documentary made about him. He's had such a rich, vivid, colorful, fascinating life. And outside of his past life, he's a colorful, witty, goofy, loving, wonderful little Muppet of a man who you just, the minute you sit down with him, you're enamored with him. You love the guy. So for him, you know, as he's aging and as he's getting up in his older years, he's 83 years old, he recognizes that he wants someone to tell the story of him and his mission, and unfortunately, or, you know, hopefully not, carry on his mission after he's gone, which we hope won't be soon.
Your times being around him in terms of the production, what are some of the things that you've learned about him as an individual, personality, things like that, that maybe are a little bit beyond what I would say maybe is the persona, the public image that we get as someone who is this foremost debunker of, you know, non-scientific ideas?
We've been learning more and more about him the more time we spend with him. And from the very beginning, he has been very open with us and said to us at the outset, you know, that he wants us to paint a portrait of him, warts and all. You know, he's not interested, nor are we, in making a kind of fawning fan documentary about how great and wonderful he is. He has many detractors, and some of them are a little more crazy than others. But I think the more time we spend with him, the more we see maybe a little bit of a separation between his performing persona, which, let's say, his media presence, especially in the 70s, 80s, and him as a person. I think he came off in the media as a little bit more harsh, a little bit more kind of critical, somebody who was really not angry, but, you know, had a mission to show how people were wrong. Even though he's an entertainer and, you know, tells every other sentence out of his mouth as a joke. I think he's softened a lot over the years, and there are a lot of things that people don't know about him because he, in a sense, was somewhat private about his personal life. And the idea of James Randi that people might know if they're familiar with his work, you know, and his appearances on TV and whatnot, they might have a certain impression of the man. And I think in getting to know him, talk to him, spend a lot of time with him at his home, and with his partner, we're really seeing, you know, that he is a lot more, you know, gentle, generous. He's maybe not quite as hard-edged as you might believe if you just looked at a lot of his media appearances in the past. And we're also learning stories about his past that haven't been out there, that, you know, he didn't write in books, or that, you know, haven't been told, that are just, you know, astounding. You know, he's been around for so long. You know, he started out in radio, he started out before TV. You know, he ran away at the age of 17 to join a traveling circus. And there is a big portion of his history that, in a sense, has not been, you know, has not been out there, has not, the public isn't aware of. And I think there are a lot of insights into both him and kind of the culture that he comes out of. That, you know, we're hoping to, you know, be able to incorporate into the film and to help paint a picture of both him and his life's work that will make him as charming as a person as he is.
You're talking about creating a balanced portrait of someone, at least in certain circles, has a very negative connotation at times, especially when I'm talking about people who do believe in psychics and things like that, with things like the $1 million challenge that he created years ago, where he offered this $1 million to anyone who can prove psychic phenomena or ESP or things like that in a scientific setting. He's had people come forward and say, oh, I'll take the challenge on national TV, and then never do anything, and then sort of slam him in the press in some way. Has there been any opportunity for you to maybe reach out to any of his detractors and try to talk to them? And what has the reaction been in that way?
Well, they've been reaching out to us.
Yeah, it's surprising. Just since we've launched the trailer in the film, we got a small taste of what James Randi goes through, in that we got a lot of what he would term as woo-woos coming out of the woodwork. You know, we get emails and Facebook messages and people saying, yeah, hey, I can talk to God, and Randi hasn't taken my challenge. And, you know, I translate ancient rocks into text, and Randi hasn't taken this challenge, and you need to make him do it. So they're everywhere. They're all over the place. They're all over the world. Have we talked to any of his detractors on camera? Not as yet. We hope to, and to tell a complete and honest story about the man. I think that's an essential part. Whether it be, you know, Uri Geller, Peter Popoff, you know, the faith healer he debunked, James Heidrich, the man who had telekinetic skills, any of these individuals who he has. I mean, there's a lot of lives, livelihoods of individuals that he threatens and has destroyed. Peter Popoff was making $6 million a year before James Randi found out that his revelation was, in fact, not from God, but from his wife backstage in a microphone into his hearing aid. He went on the Johnny Carson show, ruined the man. 6 months later, he was bankrupt. Now, Peter Popoff is back, and he's selling holy water and, you know, bits of advice for millions of dollars. But for a long time, he ruined this man's life. And he's done that repeatedly. He has pointed and called these people out. So when you ruin somebody's livelihood and when you embarrass them, not just amongst their friends, but on public national television, naturally you're going to have some people who are upset. So, yes, we are going to talk to those people, and we hope that they have an interesting side of the story as well.
Obviously, he has inspired a lot of other generations going forward of magicians and people who debunk things as well. The one that comes to the top of my mind, and they've had a long-running show, I think it's still on Showtime, is Penn and Teller. Have you guys, do you see them as playing a role as in this film as well? And what has the reaction been if you've been in touch with Penn Jillette or his partner?
Actually, Penn and Teller say, and will say publicly, that without James Randi, there would be no Penn and Teller. And he introduced those two together and basically said, why aren't you guys putting a show on? Why aren't you guys a partnership? So, but in addition to that, you know, we've had Penn Jillette, who we have interviewed, and he is on the film, and we had him with James Randi. He's actually in the trailer, you can see, on anhonestliar.com. But he said that Flim Flam, the book that James Randi wrote, changed his life. He said that outside of his family, there's no one more important to him than James Randi. So they have a long history and a rich history. And yes, in fact, Penn and Teller are actually carrying the torch that Houdini initially had, that James Randi picked up, and now Penn and Teller are actively doing the same thing. And they do it on television, they do it in their live shows. And, you know, Penn has become very outspoken about these beliefs, and I think they will only continue to do so. So, yes, they are huge fans of Randi, they are in the film and probably will play a part in it, not just on camera, but probably a little bit behind it as well, as far as crafting a story.
How much have you guys been shooting? Like, how long have you been shooting? And when do you think it may be done and on to festivals or where everyone can get a chance to check it out?
We started July of last year. So at this point, we've been shooting on and off for a good 8 months. As far as projecting when, the world of documentary is one that is always fluid and flowing, and you never know. I think we'd like to ideally be done by the end of this year and premiering sometime early 2013. But you never know. You know, you just never know. It's a very rich and deep story. And as we are not just telling the history of James Randi, we are telling what is happening now. And we are actively, I hasten to say, engaged in a storyline that is somewhat secretive. Therefore, we don't know how long that's going to take. And while there's a beauty in that as a filmmaker, because you don't know, I spent 2.5 years filming Sons of Perdition. It was exhausting and frustrating and trying. And as an impatient person, I just wish I could have finished the damn film. But having spent that long with them, that really told the richness of the story. It really told the evolution. So that's the juggle that we as filmmakers always try to figure out. How long do we stay with the story? How long do we keep editing? And the eternal question is, when is the damn money going to come in so that we can actually finish the film? So, you know, you're always kind of juggling those things.
Essentially, a lot of what we've done up until maybe about 2 weeks ago has been doing preliminary research and filming in order to be able to show people what our intentions are and what the film that we are envisioning will be. And it was only a few weeks ago that we finished a trailer and put it online. And it only sent it to a few friends, but it went viral. And we were getting millions of hits from around the world. And we're very quickly overwhelmed by the amount of interest in the film. And so now we are starting production and raising money. And we're about to start a Kickstarter campaign to, you know, raise money to help us do that.
How long until you expect the Kickstarter to be up?
We're hoping in the next couple of weeks. I think one of the things that has kept us back is we are trying to collect as many phenomenal rewards as we can, which include, you know, artifacts from Randy's history, from his own collection, things from the James Randi Educational Foundation. You know, really phenomenal stuff that people can't just buy at Walmart. So we've been really trying to get a very interesting catalog of things that people will respect and appreciate. One thing we have found is there are James Randi fans, and not just fans. These people are ardent followers of him, not just in the United States. When we launched the website, it went viral and worldwide so quickly and so rapidly to where there were 500,000 views within a couple of days. And not just in the United States. We were getting donations from Slovakia and from Lithuania and Brazil and Ireland and Italy and Australia and New Zealand and United Arab Emirates and just everywhere. It really astounded us how international James Randi is and how loved the man is.
As for a possible Kickstarter premium, do you know if there will be any Uri Geller autographed bent spoons?
not that we know of, but I think James Randi could bend a few spoons if you wanted him to.
Yeah, excellent. We should have that. Genuine James Randi bent spoons. I think that actually might be more desirable to people than a Uri Geller bent spoon.
I've seen both of them do it, so and Randi does it quite well, actually, with a big smile on his face.
Yeah, he's a character. There's no choice about it. The man is, he is a national treasure, and we are excited to introduce him to the large amount of people who don't know who he is. The interesting thing is when we mention, oh, we're making a film on James Randi, if you know who he is, people are like, oh my God, what a great film. What a great movie. I can't wait for that film. If you don't know him, and there is a large amount of people who don't, then you have to explain it. They say, oh, that's really interesting. So we are really excited to introduce this man to so many people because he is such an interesting, fascinating individual with such a unique and goofy history that it just begs to be told.
And when it comes down to it, I think people, when they go to see a movie, are interested in seeing a good story and are interested in being moved and, you know, involved. And there are, you know, commonalities for everybody to who just enjoys a good experience at the movie theater. And, you know, I mentioned this maybe, you know, before we started the interview, but, you know, my last film, being Elmo, I, as a viewer, would not necessarily be interested in seeing the film about the puppeteer who created Elmo, because I grew up before Elmo was a character on Sesame Street, so I didn't really care about him. But one of the most rewarding things that happens to me is when people come up to me and say, you know, I didn't really want to see this film, but my wife or my son or, you know, somebody told me I have to go see it, and I didn't really care about Elmo, but man, you know, I that it made me cry, it made me laugh, and, you know, I'm really glad I saw it. And I think that as filmmakers, our job is also, you know, at the most fundamental level to tell a good story.
Along those lines, I love the part of the preview where you kind of have the montage of different TV shows where there were mentions of Randi. Do you think you're going to have kind of a similar thing and show some of the old appearances? I mean, because he's kind of been a staple on TV and in movies for decades. Is there any kind of problem with licensing, or are you just going to have a lawyer and try to do what you can do?
At this point, we haven't really completely dug into the logistics and the legalities of it. We are in the process of collecting the footage. The beauty of this is that while he will be retelling a story that occurred to him, like, for example, the Alpha Project, where he fooled an entire paranormal scientist team. While he will be telling that story and the other people involved will be telling that story, there is hours of footage. There's news and footage and actual footage from the event. So that helps us in trying to tell a more complete story as opposed to, you know, animation or, you know, a narrative recreation of the event. We can actually show what happened. So for that, we're very blessed and fortunate.
Yeah, the archival footage for us is more of a gold mine than, you know, a problem. It really allows us to illustrate his history firsthand. And, you know, not all documentaries are able to do that, and they have to try and come up with ways to get around the fact that they don't have footage of, you know, important events. But one of the great benefits of telling Randy's story is that a lot of what he's done has been, you know, well documented in the news, on TV, in various forms. And so that'll really just make it a richer experience.
Now, the $1 million challenge is up over $1 million now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's $1 million. It's $1 million. He has verified $1 million in the bank that was donated to him by a very interested individual who wishes to promote critical thinking. So it's there and it's still active. And over the years, it's gone from, I think the first number was $1,000.
And then it went up to 10,000.
And then it went up 10,000. And that was all out of his pocket until the $1 million, which I think more woo-woos came out of the woodwork once it hit seven figures.
And I think that's something that a lot of people don't really understand about him and about this challenge is that he's not out necessarily to disprove that certain things exist. He wants to prove that they exist, but in a reproducible scientific manner. And unfortunately, it seems that that's been a little more difficult than some people might think.
So you guys are working on the fundraising right now. Here's my idea. You guys are on the inside. You're studying the methods. Are you ready for the $1 million challenge?
Well, believe me, if I could move objects with my mind and make $1 million, I would be the first person lining up for it. I don't know, Tyler, what I know that, you know, you have some magical powers, but I think they have to do with influencing people or with, you know,
wooing women, maybe. that doesn't grant me $1 million, no. A high five and a cold beer every once in a while, but no.
We can do a few parlor tricks, but I don't think those will earn us $1 million.
You know, sometimes raising funds for an independent film, especially a documentary, you may as well be able to speak to the dead or move mountains, because sometimes it's just as difficult.
Welcome back to the projection booth. It was great talking to Justin Weinstein and Tyler Meesom. It sounds like An Honest Liar is going to be a fascinating project with a lot of twists and turns.
And it's one of those things that right now, as I said in the opening, you can get involved. It's a film that, although it isn't done, and that's the reason why, you know, you're getting a little bit of this trailer and you're getting this interview and we're talking about the process with these filmmakers. I think that's what we want to do here at the projection booth. I think that these special editions that we do allows us to reach out and talk about films that maybe need a little help or films that are on the way and a way you can get involved. So, you know, just a few months ago, we had that special show that we did here on the Manos restoration. So we're always on the hunt for worthy projects that are in need of support and our love. So you can go to the website right now and actually learn more about An Honest Liar, way you can give some money and learn about all the various things. We'll find out if they actually do decide to put any James Randi autographed bent up spoons on there, and you can check out all the official links and everything else related to the film.
Folks aren't rushing to give us any money, so they might as well give money to some of these filmmakers that actually need it and need the funding and everything. So as we go along here, we're going to try to focus on some more of these films that are in the process of getting funded or are trying to get out on DVD that have never been out on DVD, those kind of things. So, you know, I think it's good to be able to support the film community in that way. So if you want to learn more about that stuff, stop on by the Projection Booth website at www.projection-booth.com. forgottenflicks.com. We're going to take a break and play a clip from next week's show.
Opening soon, the greatest comedy ever to hit the screen, Superman, the other movie. You'll see fantastic cinematography and dramatic acting.
But when the Big Bang comes and you're all being blown to bits, don't come running to me. No way.
See David Gerald as the brilliant Kryptonian scientist Jell-O. Bijou Trimble and Kirk Allen as foster parents Ma and Pa Kent. Albie Moore as Perry Blight, editor-in-chief of The Daily Comet. David Dubner as cuddly cub reporter Jimmy Nielsen. Trisha Matthews as Lois Lame, ace reporter for The Daily Comet. Sir Daniel Sanchez as the world-famous mad genius Rex Ruther, arch-nemesis of Superman. Melinda McGuire as his beautiful bouncing bosom buddy, Miss Tushmaker. Drex Reed as the evil Kryptonian criminal, General Zit. And starring Mark Radzinski as mild-mannered reporter Clark Kent, who, in reality, is Superman. Yes, you'll go nuts over Superman. You'll laugh till you drop. So hang in there, it's coming soon. Superman, the other movie.
That was a preview from Superman. Be sure to come back when we're talking to the producer and director of that fine fan film. And be sure to come back next week. Check us out via iTunes, Stitcher, or our website, projection-booth.com. We love to hear from you, so please leave us some feedback.